The crime.
He tried to injure me and burn my face. And he attempted to rape me.
The accused.
I didn't do anything physically.
Are you telling me, sir, that you didn't put your hands on her? That's baloney.
He said he wanted to die with me.
The solution.
See this judge?
The one Judge Judy you must see.
You can't put your hands on anybody.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 45-year-old outreach coordinator Monessa Fong is suing her ex-boyfriend, 33-year-old counselor Albert Chung, for injuries she received during a sexual assault.
Order, all rise.
Yes, case number 112 on the calendar in the matter of Fong versus Chung. Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated, sir. Have a seat, please.
Ms. Fong, you tell a very, very aggressive story about actions taken by the defendant, who was then your boyfriend. For some reason, which I'm sure you will explain, you decided that you didn't want to prosecute this case criminally. Is that right?
Yes.
When did this incident take place?
January 27.
Tell me what happened on January 27th.
Defendant Albert Chen, he discovered that I was going to display clothes at a ballroom dance school, and he became very jealous and...
He went with you?
He insisted he has to go. While we were there, he took me into a storage room. He started screaming at me, calling me names. He also attempted to burn my clothes and burn my face using a lighter.
In the storage room?
Yes, he tried to injure me and burn my face.
You managed to get free, according to your complaint, from the storage room. Is that right?
Yes, there are people there and people knocked on the door. He left, and when I tried to leave, he was there behind my car.
And he got into the car with you?
Yes, so I gave him a ride home. While I was driving, he blew anger at me. He punched in the windshield and tried to break the window. He also pulled the handbrake, tried to stop the car, and he yelled at me and tried to grab me out of the car. He said he wanted to die with me. And there are policemen behind us, and they took him out of the car.
And you were actually taken into custody. Is that right, sir?
No, the police took me out because I have an open can of the beer, and then they thought I was drunk, but
Where did they put you, Mr.
On
Chung?
The street.
They left you just on the street?
On the street.
You left, is that right?
I told the policeman I was first scared. I do not want the defendant to be in my car again. The police officers told me I could file a police report.
Did you do that?
Yes, I went to a local station and filed a police report.
That night?
That night. And an emergency restraining order was granted to me that night.
And what happened when you got home?
When I stepped into my house, it was close to 2 o'clock in the morning. I heard defendant Albert Chen leave a message on my recording. He sounded angrily on the phone. He threatened me to pick up the phone. I did not pick up the phone. 15 minutes later, the doorbell rang. I knew it was him, so I did not answer. And I tried to call 911. And defendant called in my phone at the same time, so I could not dial out. He threatened me to give him $35 for the taxi fare.
For the cab fare?
Yes. I refused, but he threatened that he'd make a scene out of it and wake up my neighbors. So I brought the money out and gave it to him. He forced his way in. Once he's inside, he grabbed on me and threw me on the ground. He got on top of me. He twisted my wrist. He injured my spine and my joint. And he attempted to rape me by pulling down and ripping my pants. And I brought my evidence of the ripped and torn pants.
I don't have to see them.
The elastic was broken.
Go ahead.
And I started screaming, and he stopped. For the rest of the night, he abused me by threatening me to drain the toilet cleaner. He forced me to smell lighter gas. He threatened me that if I reported the police, he would kill me.
How did it come about that he left your apartment?
My mother called about 9 o'clock in the morning. The first time, he did not let me answer the phone. I said, if I don't answer, my mother will call the police. Then he let me answer the phone. My mother said she was coming over. So then defendant left. And I called the police and made the second police report. But I told the police officers that I do not want him to be arrested because I was too scared that this guy will retaliate.
Let me see the police report.
This is the first police report. This is the second one. And the bottom is stated that I asked the officer to not arrest the defendant.
Why?
Because I was too terrified.
Then why do you come to court now, Ms. Fong?
Because it's 4 months after, and also putting him in jail is very intense, that he will become very angry and retaliate. I also have the photos of the policeman talk on me. It was kicking on my face that was injured. Also on the damaged carpet, on the damaged closet door, and the damaged portable closet, and also the burned clothes. The policeman also took his lighter and burned the clothes for evidence.
All right, Mr. Chung, I have a couple of questions for you, sir,
mm-hmm.
because I've read your answer. Now, there is no question that you did, in fact, pull the emergency brake. Is that right?
Yeah, I did pull the emergency brake, the handbrake, yes. I want to mention why I need to pull the handbrake, because I told her to stop the car because I feel we were arguing in her car and she drives pretty dangerous. That's why
I read your story. Mm-hmm. That's not a reason to pull a handbrake.
Okay.
She hadn't been drinking that night, you had. You had an open can of beer, is that right?
Right.
Okay. So the police took you out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you stand out on the street waiting for a taxi cab?
Around like an hour and a half.
And you were very angry at that time?
Yes, I were angry.
Then why did you go to her house that night?
Because
there's no question that you went back to her house. Is that right?
Right.
Now, you didn't live with her.
I did not live with her.
Then why did you go back to her house after being very angry? Listen to me, Mr. Chung, because I'm very smart. You tried to get out of the car. She wouldn't let you out of the car, according to you.
Mm-hmm.
You were so frightened of the way she was driving erratically that you pulled the emergency brake on the car, according to you. Is that right?
Yes.
The police came and rescued you. Is that right?
No, they rescued
you by getting you out of the car. Is that right?
Right. That's giving me
out. That's according to you. They rescued you by getting you out of the car. Now you're rescued. She can't hurt you anymore with the car. So, quiet.
Excuse me.
I'm speaking.
Okay.
So you're standing outside for an hour and a half, and it's very late at night.
About
midnight?
And midnight.
And very cold.
And really, really cold.
And freezing. You don't live with her?
No.
Then why don't you go home?
Because...
No, look at me. Why don't you go home?
Because I was angry, and I heard she told the police I'm making trouble on her, and I was angry. I just wanted to go to her
So home you were angry?
Right.
So now you arrive at her house
mm-hmm.
after having had a little to drink, being out in the cold for an hour and a half, and you're very angry. And what do you do when you get to the house, Mr. Chung?
I want to talk to her.
What do you do? Did you call her and tell her you wanted $35 for a cab?
Oh, I did.
She gave you the $35 for the cab. Is that right?
Right.
Was the cab waiting for you?
The cab waiting for me.
And then you went back upstairs.
Right.
Why did you go back to her apartment?
I was angry, and I know I was stupid. I go back to her house.
So what did you do to her when you got to the apartment?
I argued with her.
Tell me how you argued with her,
okay.
sir.
Okay. I told her, you know, how come she's just ignoring me, and when the police come, she told the police she just don't know me, something like that, just like her, just like friend.
Are you telling me, sir, that you didn't put your hands on her?
Oh, I never put my hand on her.
No, no, he's lying.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Manessa Fong says ex-boyfriend Albert Chung injured her during a sexual assault. Manessa says Albert terrorized her over the course of 24 hours.
How long did you stay there that evening?
All night.
Did she ask you to leave?
She never asked me to leave.
That's a lot of baloney, sir. That's baloney. Because even if you were only arguing with her verbally, she would have asked you to leave.
She didn't ask me to leave. She let me sleep in her living room at the floor. She told me, because I'm legally blind, I'm visually impaired, I cannot drive, and it was late, around like 2 o'clock, and this, she let me sleep in her living room, and next morning she woke me up, and then I left.
But now,
we were arguing for a long time.
Right.
Right.
Why do you believe that Ms. Fong would have made 2 police reports if you had not threatened her?
Because when the argument, by the time my language was very strong and insulting her, and she was angry. And I just want to make sure you understand, I didn't do anything physically.
I don't believe that, sir. I believe that you did something physically to her. I believe that you did. I believe that you went there that night and you were very, very angry.
Right.
And when you are very, very angry, based upon something that you did earlier that evening, you, for whatever reason, wanted her to stop the car and you pulled the emergency brake up. You could see good enough to pull up the emergency brake.
I don't need to see, I can feel it.
Just like you can feel her face. You pulled up the emergency brake, which means, Mr. Chung, that you have a temper. And what she did later on that evening, which was, according to you, felt sorry for you and let you sleep on the floor of her apartment, that doesn't sound like the kind of woman who would not let you out of a car if you wanted to get out of the car. So you got a temper. You've got a temper. And I believe that you punched the windshield on the car. Didn't break it, but I believe that you punched it.
Mm-hmm, I did.
Sure, because you have a temper. And that was before you were standing outside for an hour and a half in the cold at 1 o'clock in the morning. That was before, after you were really mad because she was ignoring you in the ballroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. You better stay away from her because you see this, Judge? You may get some very nice judge if you go near her again. You may get somebody who will be very sympathetic with the fact that you tell them that you can't see, you're legally blind, you're a poor soul, all right? You can't put your hands on anybody, never, in anger, and get away with it. And I'm just very sorry that she didn't follow through, but I tell you something else. If you ever go near her again, ever, it is very possible that you're going to get unlucky and get somebody just like me. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And if you get somebody just like me, you're going to go to jail. And they don't care what your handicaps are. Do you understand?
Yes.
Keep your hands to yourself and stay far away from her. Judgment for the plaintiff for the amount of $5,000 as requested. Stay away from her.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Excuse, you may step out.
I was terrified. The defendant was threatening me if I arrest him and put him in jail, he would kill me and my family.
I didn't do it. And if I did it, after the police did the full investigation, I already been in the jail.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of McCall versus Wilhelm. Step forward, please.
71-year-old Bourbon McCall is suing his former friend, 32-year-old student Sandra Wilhelm, for unpaid loans and the cost of a car. Sandra says Bourbon's lawsuit is an attempt to keep her in his life.
Mr. McCall, it is your claim in this complaint that you were romantically involved with the defendant and made a series of loans to her, including a car.
Yes, ma'am.
Then she broke it off, and you want your money back.
Yes, Your Honor.
When and where did you meet Mr. McCall?
I met Sandra at a local pub that we both frequented.
Okay. When?
Sometime in March, Your Honor.
And when did you make this first loan?
Well, the first thing that happened, I had bought a computer, and Sandra agreed to come over and download it for me. Then she'd had an accident, and she had picked up a DUI, and her car was wrecked. So I then called her and asked her if I could be of any help to her. She said, well, my mother's got a car, that 88 Crown Victoria. Her mother was asking $2,300 for the car. I gave Sandra $2,300. We went in. She gave us the title. We then proceeded to go down and get it plated and titled.
Did you expect Miss Wilhelm to pay you back the money?
Yes, I did, Your Honor.
Did you ever tell her that?
Yes, I did, Your Honor.
Shh, quiet. When did you tell her that?
I told her that before we bought the car. I said,
what did you say?
I said, if we buy a car, I'll help you get a car. But I said, I want title to that car. She said, well, how am I going to get plates and insurance and the rest of it? Why don't we just purchase a vehicle, you'll have the first lien on the vehicle so that I'm protected.
Well, the truth of the matter is, you really are not terribly protected. All you are, if you have title to the car, is you're exposed in case she has an accident, in case she doesn't get insurance.
Well, she did that.
I know, but that's a problem. Miss Wilhelm, first of all, how old are you?
32.
How old are you, sir?
71.
Okay. Miss Wilhelm, this, whatever kind of relationship you had with the plaintiff was of relatively short duration. I read your answer very clearly, and your answer says that he clearly wanted more from the relationship than you were prepared to give him.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Can I see the title to the car, please?
Yes.
Who has the title? I have a certificate of title.
I'd like to see it, please.
Here's a copy of the title.
And I'd like to see the certificate of
title. This is Exhibit B and C, showing the registration and the application.
I just want the title to the car.
He has the title.
This is a copy. Who has the original?
I have the original at home. I just made a copy of it, Your Honor.
Well, that wasn't very smart, sir.
Well, I'm not.
That wasn't very smart, because I read the defendant's answer very clearly. She says, Bervin's goal was to control me. When I didn't respond to his advances, he became increasingly hostile. Is that true?
That is correct.
It's not true.
Eventually, I told him that he could have the car back because it's not worth the harassment. That's what you wrote. Is that what you wrote?
Yes.
Good. Sign the title over to him. Sign it over. Now.
He has the title.
You're going to sign the copy. We'll conform it. Show where to sign, Bird, would you please? You're getting good at that.
Where? He told me he didn't want the car, Your Honor.
Sign the title over to him.
Signature of seller. And print your name.
Now, give it to him, please. Thank you, Bird. Perfect. Now, let's get to the second part of your lawsuit. Is you made a series of loans to the defendant. When did they start?
Started after we had purchased the automobile.
That's not true.
She just needed money time after time, and I felt like we were committed enough. We'd already committed that we would go to Texas once she got through her ordeal, and that she would move with me, take the kids. She wanted out of Indiana, so did I.
She's 40 years your junior.
Yes, I know, Your Honor.
Very foolish.
Yes, Your Honor.
Very foolish. Do you have a promissory note, sir?
No, Your Honor.
You gave her money for a lawyer?
Yes.
How much money did you give her for a lawyer?
$500.
That's not true.
You gave her money to pay her mortgage?
$500.
Did you ever get a note from her for any of those things?
No, Your Honor. I was too involved.
Well, you were too involved, and that's what you get when you're too involved.
That's
sir.
Right.
You don't get paid for that.
That's right.
That's stupidity.
No. I said that myself, to myself.
Well, if you said it to yourself, unfortunately, you got to listen to me say it to you again.
That's okay. That's her
so
idea.
This was a lesson that cost you perhaps a couple of $1,000. Miss Wilhelm says that you never gave her any money, I assume. Is that right?
That's correct.
Never gave you any money?
No.
I don't know whether I believe you that he never gave you any money. I sort of think he probably did. In any event, you knew each other for a total of maybe 8 weeks. In the 8 weeks, the plaintiff is out a substantial amount of money. I can't get you back all the money that you were out, sir, because I really feel as if you didn't have a contract with her with regard to these cash loans that you made, or cash gifts that you made to her. But clearly, it was your intention to have a hold on the car, which was the largest amount of money that you turned over to the plaintiff, by having your name placed as a lien holder on the car. That is some evidence of a debt. That is why you got your car back. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Rest of your claim is dismissed. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Basically, he's trying to make a relationship.
She was claiming what was not true.
I thought then, being 40 years my senior, that it would be totally harmless.
She was unwilling to settle it outside the door.
He told me he was not interested in the car.
I did have proof that I had interest in the car.
We basically wanted to go ahead and keep that as leverage to keep things ongoing in a manner which I couldn't accept.